Chapter 13, Children and Love Languages.
Does the concept of love languages apply to children? I'm often asked that question by those attending my marriage seminars. My unqualified answer is yes. When children are little, you don't know their primary love language. Therefore, pour on all five and you're bound to hit it. But if you observe their behavior, you can learn their primary love language rather early. Bobby is 6 years old. When his father comes home from work, Bobby jumps into his lap, reaches up, and messes up his father's hair. What is Bobby saying to his father? I want to be touched. He is touching his father because he wants to be touched. Bobby's primary love language is likely physical touch. If your child is often making presents for you, wrapping them up and giving them to you with a special glee in his or her eye, your child's primary love language is probably receiving gifts. He gives to you because he desires to receive. If you observe your son or daughter always trying to help a younger brother or sister, it probably means that his or her primary love language is acts of service. If he or she is often telling you how good you look and what a good mother or father you are and what a good job you did, it is an indicator that his or her primary love language is words of affirmation. All of that is on the subconscious level for the child. That is, the child is not consciously thinking, if I give a gift, my parents will give me a gift. If I touch, I will be touched. But her behavior is motivated by her own emotional desires. Perhaps she has learned by experience that when she does or says certain things, she typically receives certain responses from her parents. Thus, she does or says that which results in getting her own emotional needs met. If all goes well and their emotional needs are met, children develop into responsible adults. But if the emotional need is not met, they may violate acceptable standards, expressing anger toward parents who did not meet their needs and seeking love in inappropriate places. Dr. Ross Campbell, the psychiatrist who first told me about the emotional love tank, says that in his many years of treating adolescents who have been involved in sexual misconduct, he has never treated such an adolescent whose emotional need for love has been met by the parents. His opinion was that almost all sexual misconduct in adolescents is rooted in an empty emotional love tank. Have you seen this in your community? A teenager runs away from home. The parents wring their hands, saying, "How could he do this to us after all we've done for him?" But the teenager is 60 miles down the road in some counselor's office saying, "My parents don't love me. They've never loved me. They love my brother, but they don't love me." Do the parents, in fact, love that teenager? In the majority of cases, they do. Then what's the problem? Very likely, the parents never learned to communicate love in a language the child could understand. Perhaps they bought ball gloves and bicycles to show their love, but the child was crying, "Will someone play ball with me? Will someone go riding with me?" The difference between buying a ball glove and playing ball with a child may be the difference between an empty love tank and a full one. Parents can sincerely love their children. Most do. But sincerity is not enough. We must learn to speak the primary love language of our children if we are to meet their emotional need for love. Let's look at just three of the five love languages in the context of loving children. First, consider words of affirmation. Parents typically give many affirming words when the child is young. Even before the child understands verbal communication, parents are saying, "What a pretty nose, what beautiful eyes, what curly hair," and so on. When the child begins to crawl, we applaud every movement and give words of affirmation. When he begins to walk and stands with one hand against the couch, we stand 2 feet away and say, "Come on, come on, come on, that's right, walk, that's right, walk." The child takes half a step and falls, and what do we say? We don't say, "You dumb kid, can't you walk?" Rather, we say, "Yay, good job!" So he gets up and tries again. Why is it that as the child gets older, our words of affirmation turn to words of condemnation? When the child is 7, we walk into the room and tell him to put his toys in the toy box. 12 toys are on the floor. We come back in 5 minutes, and 7 toys are in the box. And what do we say? I told you to get these toys up. If you don't get these toys up, I'm going to... What about the 7 toys in the box? Why don't we say, "Yay, Johnny, you put 7 toys in the box. That's great." The other 5 will probably jump into the box also. As the child gets older, we tend to condemn him for his failures rather than commend him for his successes. To a child whose primary love language is words of affirmation, our negative, critical, demeaning words strike terror to her psyche. Hundreds of 35-year-old adults still hear words of condemnation spoken 20 years ago ringing in their ears. "You're too fat. Nobody will ever date you. You're not a student. You may as well drop out of school. I can't believe you're so dumb. You are irresponsible and will never amount to anything." Adults struggle with self-esteem and feel unloved all their lives when their primary love language is violated in such a detrimental manner. Second, let's consider quality time. Quality time means giving a child undivided attention. For the small child, it means sitting on the floor and rolling a ball back and forth. We're talking about playing with cars or dolls. We're talking about playing in the sandbox and building castles, getting into his world, doing things with him. You may be into computers as an adult, but your child lives in a child's world. You must get down on the child's level if you eventually want to lead him to the adult world. As the child gets older and develops new interests, you must enter into those interests if you want to meet his needs. If he is into basketball, get interested in basketball. Spend time playing basketball with him. Take him to basketball games. If he's into piano, perhaps you could take a piano lesson. Or at least listen with undivided attention for part of his practice period. Giving a child your undivided attention says that you care, that he is important to you, that you enjoy being with him. Many adults, looking back on childhood, do not remember much of what their parents said, but they remember what their parents did. One adult said, "I remember that my father never missed my high school games. I knew he was interested in what I was doing." For that adult, quality time was an extremely important communicator of love. If quality time is the primary love language of your child, and you speak that language, chances are he will allow you to spend quality time with him even through the adolescent years. If you do not give him quality time in the younger years, he will likely seek the attention of peers during the adolescent years and turn away from parents who may at that time desperately desire more time with their children. Finally, let's consider acts of service. If your child is often expressing appreciation for ordinary acts of service, that is a clue that they are emotionally important to him or her. Your acts of service are communicating love in a meaningful way. When you help them with a science project, it means more than a good grade. It means, "My parents love me." When you fix a bicycle, you do more than get him back on wheels. You send him away with a full love tank. If your child consistently offers to help you with your work projects, it probably means that in his mind, that is a way of expressing love, and acts of service likely is his primary love language. Observe your children. Watch how they express love to others. That is a clue to their love language. Take note of the things they request of you. Many times, their request will be in keeping with their own love language. Notice the things for which they are most appreciative. Those are likely indicators of their primary love language. If you want them to feel loved, we must learn to speak our children's primary love language.